Masechet Baba Metzia, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Het. Here we'll talk about lost documents that should be returned to the person named in the document. Mishnah says, Matza Igrot Shum. If a person found letters of appraisal, which talks about if a person borrowed money and at some point he was unable to repay, the court then had foreclosure on his house, and they gave it to the person who lent him the money. Before they do that, the Bet Din is obligated to go value how much the property is actually worth, and they record that in this Igeret, they write it down, and they count it as a payment of debt from the borrower to the lender. We want to make sure that the lender now has the ability to show that the land is his, that he took possession of it, and the borrower can't come with a claim to try and say that the land is his. The igrot mazon, a letter of support, that's from the court as well. They say that the court would sell the land of a man's estate in order to support his wife and daughters. After a man passes away, he's still obligated to ensure that his wife is supported and that his young daughters are also going to be supported from the man's yerusha, from his estate. If his inheritors refuse to pay, they don't want to take care of the wife and the young daughters of their father, then the Beit Din has the ability to tell the wife, sell the property, take the money, and you'll be able to support yourself. This document shows that the Beit Din is giving the wife permission to sell the piece of land. Shitre Halitza, a document that says that a woman received Halitza. If she receives Halitza, that means her deceased husband's brother does not want to do Yibum with her. He'd rather do Halitza, the removal of the shoe, and that gives her permission to marry somebody else. The document here would record that Halitza was done and that she's free to marry somebody else. Umeunin, mi'un. If a man passes away, a man usually has the ability to marry off his daughter if she's under the age of 12. But if that man passes away, Hachamim said, in order to ensure that this young girl has some sort of support system and that nobody else is going to take advantage of her, her mother and brothers are allowed to marry her off on a derabanan level. The marriage is only rabbinic. So therefore, the young girl could opt out of the marriage at any time as a young girl, and she would not need a get, but we would have to confirm that she's not married to this man anymore. So a document was written that tells us mi'un, that's her refusal, that's what it means, mi'un, happened, and that she now is a woman who's free to marry somebody else. Vishitre birurin, a document that says the names of the selection of judges that happened in a monetary case of the Beit Din. When you have a monetary law being dealt with, they usually have three judges. Each side that's involved picks one of the judges, and then those two judges together would choose a third judge. So you'd write down the names of the judges that the plaintiff and the defendant, for lack of a better term, have chosen, because we want to make sure that later on they don't claim that they chose somebody else. Bechol ma'ase Beit Din, any other document that's recorded that records an act of a Beit Din, debts, lending money, seizing of land, etc. All of this type of any type of document that would include something from the Beit Din, hareze yahzir. In all of these cases, the finder returns the document to the people who are supposed to receive them. The fact that it's being written by a court in every one of these situations tells us that the event that the document was talking about actually took place. The court, responsible, they'd only write it if it was actually happening, and therefore it wasn't just lost by somebody. We're saying that these documents were actually given to the right person. We know who the right party is, and therefore a person should return it to them. In the last Mishnah, we listed that certain documents should not be returned to the person mentioned in the contract, for example, a get or a loan document, since you don't know which party was really the one who's supposed to receive them. Maybe the get, for example, was written but not delivered, so therefore the rightful owner would be the husband. But on the other hand, maybe it was delivered and the rightful owner is the wife. So you can't return it because you don't really know who the right person to give it back to is. You don't know who lost it. So here we'll list exceptions to that rule, even for those types of documents. Matzah ba hafitza o bedulus kema. Somebody found documents in a small leather bag, or he found it in a large leather box. tachrich shel shtarot, or he found a roll of documents, different documents that were wrapped around one another, like a little cone, like a circle, or aguda shel shtarot, or a bundle of documents that were stacked all together. Harezi yahazir, he should return it to the person, either side, who has the ability to identify what type of container they were in, or how it looked, or the documents that were there that were rolled together. If the loan documents, for example, were found, and the lender tells the description of how they were found, then the documents are given to him. But if the borrower gives the right description, then the documents are returned to him. When talking about these bundle of documents, aguda shel shtarot, it's not just simply enough to say, oh, I know they were rolled in the following way. A person has to give other identifying marks, how many documents were in the roll. Like we'll say, v'kama aguda shel shtarot, how many documents are there in a bundle of documents? Sheloshah keshurin ze baze. There are three documents that are connected and rolled next to each other, and the owner of the shtar has to know how many documents were there, not only the way that the bundle was rolled. The Mishnah continues, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Ehad halove mishloshah yahazir lalove, says Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that there's another way that we can identify the rightful owner of documents. Let's say you have three loan documents, and all three loans were from where one person borrowed from three different people. It's sort of obvious that the rightful owner of this bundle is the one who borrowed from three people. So you should return the documents to the borrower. The lenders wouldn't have compiled their three documents together of one other person, so we should make the assumption that these documents were from the borrower. He repaid all three loans, he took his documents back from the lenders, and he put them in one pile, and then he lost them, so therefore we return it back to the lender. And the same applies in the opposite way. Shiloshah halovin me'ehad yahazir lamalveh. Let's say you find three documents from, it's where the documents say that three different people borrowed from one malveh. So it must be that the malveh, the lender here, lost the documents. He had three outstanding loans from three different people. He was holding on to them, hoping to get his money. And then he lost these three documents together. This single lender, if you find it, it should be returned, the documents, to him, because we assume that they're unpaid. Matzah shdar ben shetarotav. Let's say somebody finds documents in his possession, but he doesn't know why he has them. He found documents talking about another person, someone else's loans. He found it in his own documents. He doesn't know the status. He doesn't know why he's holding on to this document. He's holding on to another loan document between two other people. Maybe he's holding on to it, but the reason he's holding on to it, but he doesn't know if the loan was not paid, and then the lender gave it to him to hold in order to be responsible for, but maybe he forgot. Or maybe the loan was paid, and he was handed this document by the borrower in order to just hold on to it also for records. Or maybe the loan was partly paid and partly unpaid, and therefore they gave it to him also just to keep track of things and to make sure that there was no funny business, because maybe the malveh will go and say, here, you didn't pay me at all. Give me the entire amount that's listed on the document. So he doesn't really know what's going on. Yehemunah ad sheyavo Eliyahu. The halakha is that we set this document aside until Eliyahu Hanavi comes back and he tells us what happened. In other words, don't return it to the lender, don't return it to the borrower, because we have no clue who it really belongs to. Another similar case where unknown documents were found in somebody's possession. Im yesh imahen simponot. If someone finds that there are receipts amongst his documents, that they're talking about loan documents, that he lent money out to somebody, and he's holding on to receipts as if the debts were paid. But if the debts were paid, he would have given the receipts to the borrower. So he doesn't know why these are in his possession. So we say, Ya'aseh ma sheba simponot. He should do whatever's written in the receipts. And if he's holding on to receipts that claim that other people paid him, the fact that he's holding on to the receipts means they don't have them, he has to go by them, and he has to assume that these receipts are indicative of the fact that the people paid him back. Maybe the person who borrowed money from him, he was in a rush, and he paid him the money, and he said, okay, you know what, I'll come pick up the receipt that shows that I paid another day, but he never came back, or the lender forgot to write it for a few days, and he ended up just writing it and held on to it. So we make that assumption that the borrower forgot to get the receipt, and therefore it's still in the possession of the lender, but it was actually paid for.